Pro-Life to the Max is produced and broadcast by WOMB 89.9 FM Catholic Radio in Bloomington, Indiana.
Ave Maria, welcome to Pro-Life to the Max, a weekly half-hour radio program under the patronage of St. Maximilian Mary Kolbe that is dedicated to keeping you informed on local, state, and national pro-life issues and efforts and inspiring you to get involved. I'm Monica Siefker, your host for the program, so blessed and happy to be here with you today. Thanks so much for joining me. Well, in a few days here, we're going to start seeing purple in the sacred liturgy, a symbolic reminder that we are shifting gears and entering into the penitential season of Lent. This coming Wednesday marks Ash Wednesday, the beginning of our preparation for the solemn observance of the greatest act of salvation history, the redemption of the human race by our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ through his passion, death, and resurrection. And of course, where there's Lent, there's 40 days for life. Hundreds of cities throughout the world, including our own right here in Bloomington, will see prayer warriors heading out to cover local abortion centers in prayer for 40 consecutive days for a minimum of 12 hours each of those days, with many cities seeing round-the-clock overnight vigils. Consider the juxtaposition of these two images there at abortion centers where 40 Days for Life campaigns are held. On the one hand, we've got those women and men going in who are sacrificing their own unborn children for the sake of themselves. And on the other, we've got people of faith sacrificing themselves for the sake of others who are often strangers, those moms, dads, unborn babies who are going in. These prayer warriors are out there in all kinds of weather, ready to do anything and everything to help a woman or couple choose life. Sacrifice. We're going to talk about this very important word today, what it means and why we must take it seriously. And using that theme of sacrifice, we're going to do a little Lenten reflection today in hopes of preparing ourselves better for this important season of Lent that is nearly upon us now, and to help get us fired up to participate more fully in this 40 Days for Life campaign. But first things first, let's begin in prayer. Father and maker of all, you adorn all creation with splendor and beauty, and fashion human lives in your image and likeness. Awaken in every human heart reverence for the work of your hands, and renew among your people a readiness to nurture and sustain your precious gift of life. We offer our approaching Lenten sacrifices on behalf of the unborn, and we pray that the day will come quickly when they are protected in law. Lord, in this upcoming Lenten season, strengthen and renew our commitment to be a people of life. We ask these things through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God forever and ever. Amen. And let's go now to this week's In the News. This past Thursday, Operation Rescue released its annual report documenting medical emergencies that took place at abortion facilities across the country in 2020. Of those emergencies that the pro-life organization detailed, nearly half involved Planned Parenthood centers. Most involved women who were hemorrhaging, and one maternal death was noted. Operation Rescue chronicled 67 incidents using eyewitness accounts and 911 records. The list is not nearly exhaustive, and the organization notes that there is no true accounting kept anywhere of the actual number of women who suffer abortion-related complications due to chronic underreporting and the failure of many states to mandate that they be disclosed. What we see is just the tip of a very nasty iceberg when it comes to the number of women who suffer serious complications from abortions, said Troy Newman, president of Operation Rescue. But what our data does show is that abortion is not safe, that women suffer horribly on a regular basis from life-threatening abortion injuries, and that sometimes women even die from botched abortions. This is the ugly truth about abortion that Planned Parenthood and the rest of the abortion cartel does not want the public to know, Newman stated. Life News is reporting on a recent study published in the January Issues in Law and Medicine that found glaring deficiencies that suggest many complications from the abortion pill are not being reported. The research results come at a time when the Biden administration is preparing to lift safety requirements for the abortion drug so that it can be dispensed dispensed via telemedicine or mail order. Significant morbidity and mortality have occurred after women take the abortion drug, the researchers wrote, noting the high risk associated with an undetected ectopic pregnancy. According to the study, fewer than half of the women who suffered complications went back to the abortion facility for treatment and instead went to emergency rooms. The most common complications from the abortion pill included a failed abortion, an incomplete abortion, infection, and a missed ectopic pregnancy. And Indiana U.S. Senator Mike Braun has reintroduced the Dignity for Aborted Children Act that would require fetal remains from abortions to be treated with respect and not as medical waste. Braun had introduced the bill back in 2019 after more than 2,200 fetal remains were discovered on the Illinois property of late abortionist Ulrich Klopfer. Given that most states do not regulate proper disposal after abortion procedures, Senator Braun, along with several other lawmakers, introduced legislation that would enforce a uniform federal policy for the respectful handling of fetal remains. The current bill would require abortion providers to dispose of the remains of unborn children just as any other human being. Failure to do so would be punishable by a fine and up to 5 years in prison. And finally, 14 unborn children were intentionally killed this past Thursday at the Bloomington Planned Parenthood. Once again, Deb Nakatola was in town to either dispense the abortion pill or to perform the life-ending surgical procedures. Sidewalk advocates and prayer partners were on hand in the frigid temps to reach out with hope and love to the women going in. This coming Wednesday marks the beginning of Lent and of the 40 Days for Life campaign. A special kickoff event is planned for this coming Monday evening, February 15th from 6 to 7 p.m. in the public right-of-way at the Bloomington Planned Parenthood. The rosary will begin at 6 p.m., followed by an inspirational talk by former abortionist Dr. Haywood Robinson. If you can't make the event in person, it will be broadcasted live over Womb Catholic Radio, starting at 6 p.m. this coming Monday, February 15th. And that's your weekly in the news. Ah, we're approaching every Catholic's favorite time of the year, Lent. Okay, well, maybe it's not every Catholic's favorite, but well, it should be, because we need it. And when done right, Lent builds our spiritual muscles, conforming us more to Christ. You don't need me to tell you that there has been such poor catechesis for many years now. So many Catholics don't know their faith, nor why the Church teaches the things she does. And we can't be excited about our faith, live out our faith, and share our faith if we don't know it. We won't be able to make seasons like Lent fruitful if we don't grasp what is really going on. You know, since her founding, the Church has considered the season of Lent as a sacred and important time for instructing the catechumens in the basics of the faith. Catechumens are those men and women who are preparing to receive the sacraments of initiation, which include baptism, confirmation, and the Holy Eucharist. Those charged with preparing the men and women entering into the Church are supposed to make it a point to go through all of salvation history, beginning with the Old Testament and working through the New. That's why the Lenten Mass readings, particularly the Sunday ones, all include major events in salvation history. The readings themselves are a very important tool for good and solid catechesis, not only for the catechumens, but for all the faithful. They help remind us why we do Lent. So we should be listening to them attentively and asking what they mean for us personally, especially as it relates to our Lenten spiritual growth. Now, one of the major events in salvation history that we will often hear about in the Mass readings right at the beginning of Lent is the account of the fall of Adam and Eve. And it seems obvious why we would hear this, because after all, Adam's fall necessitated a Redeemer. Although this year we are in a liturgical cycle that does not include this event in the Lenten Mass readings, we will still hear about it in the days leading up to Ash Wednesday. So I want to use the event of the fall as a springboard to what I'm going to be talking about today, and that is the idea of sacrifice. So we all know how the serpent, the devil, tricked Eve into eating the fruit from the tree of knowledge of good and evil, even as God had forbade her and Adam to do so. After Eve ate of the fruit, she offered some to her husband Adam, and he too bit. What transpired here was that the first sin was committed, and boy, did it do some major damage. It was like an atomic bomb gone off in paradise. By their act of disobedience, Adam and Eve lost sanctifying grace, the life of their souls. They lost the immortality of their bodies. They lost their happiness and became restless and filled with misery and fear. And their eyes were opened, and they saw with shame that they were naked. And in their shame and confusion, they sewed fig leaves together to try to cover their nakedness. Soon the voice of God called out to them, and instead of responding to their Maker in great joy and freedom as they had formerly done, they ran off and hid themselves among the trees. We know the consequences that came as a result of the disobedience of Adam and Eve, with God telling them, "Thou art dust, and into dust thou shalt return." Those same words we hear during the imposition of ashes on our foreheads every Ash Wednesday. But the part of the story of the fall that I'd like for us to ponder today is the step that God took in order to clothe Adam and Eve with garments of skin, because their own attempt with fig leaves was inadequate. Genesis chapter 3, verse 21 tells us that the Lord God made leather garments, or garments of skin, for Adam and his wife and clothed them. This little verse is so easily overlooked, but it's actually a key moment in salvation history, because it's the very first time that we see a blood sacrifice being made as a consequence of and as an atonement for sin. An animal had to be killed in order for its skin to be used as clothing. Now remember, this had been an animal whom Adam had named and been master of, whom he had loved and was in friendship with, just as he had been with all the animals. And now it lay dead, its blood poured out, paying for his sin. This was the first animal sacrifice, the first of many more to come. Now, can we imagine how disturbed Adam and Eve must have been seeing this beautiful, innocent creature slaughtered because of something they had done? The wages of sin is death, says Romans 6:23. No doubt that this first death got their attention, and that was the point. Man was meant to be disturbed by his sin. There are some Bible scholars who think that this animal that was slain for the very first time was a lamb. It makes sense because it foreshadowed the only one who was to come, who could pay the price for sin in full. And that's why he was called the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. That animal's skin physically clothed Adam and Eve, but Christ himself would eventually clothe their naked souls with the robe of sanctifying grace after his sacrifice on Calvary. And remember that Adam and Eve had been given the promise and hope of a Savior. It was in the Proto-Evangelium, the first gospel, Genesis 3:15, when God told the serpent, "I will put enmities between thee and the woman, and thy seed and her seed. She shall crush thy head, and thou shalt lie in wait for her heel." Let's consider, too, the pains of remorse that Adam and Eve had, for they truly were sorry. Having lost paradise, they didn't become bitter or angry toward God, but instead they lived lives of repentance and holiness. They were the first sinners, but they also wanted to become the first saints. Catholic tradition holds that the couple spent the rest of their lives here on earth in great sorrow and contrition, toiling and laboring in penance, giving themselves over completely to God to help atone for their original crime against their Creator. Scripture tells us that Adam lived for nearly 1,000 years, so that's quite a long time to suffer in this valley of tears. And the church traditionally honors Adam and Eve on December 24th, Christmas Eve. And in the Middle Ages, in many parts of Europe, devotion to Adam and Eve was very strong. Adam and Eve suffered tremendously for their sin, and they accepted the consequences. Living in a fallen and evil world, they immersed themselves in the faith and hope of a promised Redeemer. The world became a huge mess because of what they had done. But they did not despair, nor did they become despondent. Instead, they set to work, offering sacrifice, especially the sacrifice of a broken and contrite heart, being fruitful and multiplying, and with great hope, teaching their children everything they knew about God and the promised Redeemer. If our first parents had not sinned but had remained faithful, we would have shared in their happiness and would have been taken body and soul into heaven without suffering death. But on account of their disobedience, we share in their sin and the just punishment that comes with it. Our whole being, body and soul, is very injured in all its parts and powers because of the fall. Our wills are very weak, our understanding is darkened, and we are left with a strong inclination to evil. St. Paul sums it up when he writes in Romans chapter 7, "We know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold into slavery to sin. What I do not understand, for I do not do what I want, but I do what I hate. For I do not do the good I want, but I do the evil I do not want. I see in my members another principle at war with the law of my mind, taking me captive to the law of sin that dwells in my members. Miserable one that I am, who will deliver me from this mortal body?" We are at war even within ourselves because of the fall. It's a daily battle, and we need to know this because we can so easily fall if we are not careful. There is so much evil in the world, and it can be frightening at times thinking about it all. But really, it shouldn't surprise us. Sin wreaks havoc on the world, and the only antidote to it is sacrifice. Almighty God showed this to Adam and Eve when that animal was slain to clothe them. He was also showing them how to worship and to bring themselves back into union with Him. It required sacrifice. The second person of the Most Holy Trinity would eventually take on our human nature and offer himself as the perfect and supreme sacrifice in order to fully unite mankind back to God and open up the gates of heaven. Well, after that very first sacrifice in Genesis 3:21, Adam began to make similar sacrificial offerings to God and taught his progeny to do the same. We're very familiar with the sacrificial system found in the Jewish religion, where animal sacrifices were constantly being offered in the temple. This was done to serve as a constant reminder of the consequence of sin and what a terrible thing sin is. Sin brought with it the shedding of blood. In Genesis chapter 4, we read how Abel and Cain offered sacrifices to God, and this they had learned to do from their father, Adam. We also learn in chapter 4 that not all sacrifices are pleasing to God. In Genesis 4:4, we see how the Lord had regard for Abel and his offering, but for Cain and his offering, he had no regard. So, why was Abel's sacrifice pleasing to God and Cain's was not? Well, the great St. John Chrysostom probably answers it best. He says that Abel's heart was joined to the sacrifice he made. Abel didn't just casually offer any one of his sheep, but he offered one of the firstborn, one that was special and of great value to him. He knew that it was right and just to give God his best and not keep it for himself. So, a part of him died along with that sheep he sacrificed. But Cain, instead, did not join his heart with his sacrifice. Cain brought forth for sacrifice not a valuable animal, but an offering of fruit of the ground. One Catholic writer sums it up by saying, "If Abel is giving God the equivalent of filet mignon, Cain is giving him ground beef." Cain, who was filled with just too much self-love, was not giving God his best and his most precious gift. He was keeping it for himself. As a result, Cain became envious of his brother when he saw that God looked with great favor upon Abel's gift and not his own. More than likely, what had happened was that, similar to the sacrifice of Elias, God sent down fire from heaven, which consumed Abel's offering, but it did not consume Cain's. We're told that Cain's countenance fell. He became angry, sad, and disappointed. He was afraid that Abel was going to receive greater benefits from God than he himself would. Well, at this point, God intervened and he tried to warn Cain about how his passions, especially his anger, were gaining a stronghold on him. God encouraged him to have contrition and to amend his life, to sacrifice like he was meant to, so that he could enjoy the same benefits as Abel, particularly in having that peace and joy of soul that comes from the sacrificial gift of self. Unfortunately, Cain did not listen to God's instructions. Hatred and envy for his brother continued to grow in his heart until such a point that he could no longer stand to even look at his brother, and he resolved to kill him. Thus, Abel became the next innocent victim of sin, the first man to die, and that at the hands of his own brother. What must Adam and Eve have felt when they looked upon their slain son, his blood soaked into the earth and crying out to God, murdered by the hands of his own brother? Again, they were confronted with the consequences of their own sin. They knew much of the blame fell back on them. The Catholic Church defines the word sacrifice in this way. Sacrifice is the highest form of adoration in which a duly authorized priest in the name of the people offers a victim in acknowledgement of God's supreme dominion and of total human dependence on God. The victim is at least partially removed from human use, and to that extent, more or less destroyed as an act of submission to the divine majesty. Thus, a sacrifice is not only an oblation. Where an oblation offers something to God, a sacrifice immolates or gives up what is offered. In sacrifice, the gift offered is something precious, completely surrendered by the one making the sacrifice as a token of humble recognition of God's sovereignty. Of course, by the strictest sense of this definition, we can think of the holy sacrifice of the Mass, where God himself is both victim and priest. But we can apply this notion of a gift being offered to God that is both precious and completely surrendered by the one making the offering to our little daily sacrifices that we should be offering up. When making sacrifices, our hearts should be joined to it, just like Abel's was. We should be joining our very selves to whatever it is we are giving up, whether that be food, sleep, time, our own wills and opinions. And we should offer up to God that which is most precious to us. St. Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 11, that all of the trials that God's people endure throughout salvation history are recorded in Scripture to serve as a warning. These things were written down for our instruction. That's why going through these important events can be so profitable for our souls. We learn that ever since the fall, sacrifice is required. It is the highest and most perfect form of worship. There are probably hundreds of little hidden ways we can offer sacrifices in any given day, uniting it to the most perfect holy sacrifice of the Mass that is being offered on the altars throughout the world. One of the central themes in the messages of Our Lady of Fatima revolves around sacrifice. She said, "Pray, pray a great deal and make sacrifices for sinners, for many souls go to hell because they have no one to pray and make sacrifices for them. Sacrifice yourselves for sinners and say many times, especially when you make a sacrifice, 'O Jesus, this is for the love of thee, for the conversion of sinners, and in reparation for the sins committed against the Immaculate Heart of Mary.'" Our Lady came to Fatima pleading for sacrifices to be made. She told little Jacinta that the sins of the world are very great, and that more souls go to hell because of sins of the flesh than for any other reason. Our Lady also told Jacinta that certain fashions would be introduced that would offend our Lord very much. "Woe to women lacking in modesty," she said. Think again about the blood sacrifice that had to be made in order to modestly clothe Adam and Eve. We know the incredible sacrifices that those little Fatima children made in order to help win graces for the conversion of souls. They would go all day long without eating or even drinking water. They became so creative in making sacrifices of everything, such was their zeal. They were like little lambs, allowing themselves to be consumed by the fire of divine love upon the altar of sacrifice. Think, too, of the patron of this program, St. Maximilian Mary Kolbe, and the sacrifice that he made of his very life in the concentration camp in order to save the life of another. St. Maximilian, like the children of Fatima, conquered evil through sacrifice. Like gold in the furnace, he tried them, and like a sacrificial burnt offering, he accepted them. Let us beg this same divine love to come and overshadow us during this holy season of Lent, so that we too may become a sacrificial victim for the love of God and the conversion of poor sinners. Well, with 40 Days for Life starting up on Ash Wednesday, we've got ample opportunity to sacrifice by giving up some of those things that are most valuable to us, like our time, our comfort, our mediocrity when it comes to working and praying to end abortion. Under the leadership of Deacon Russ Woodard from Holy Trinity Parish over in Edinburgh, Bloomington has committed to keeping the Planned Parenthood Abortion Center there at 421 South College Avenue covered in continuous prayer for at least 12 hours, 8 a.m. until 8 p.m., every day for 40 consecutive days from Ash Wednesday, February 17th through Palm Sunday, March 28th. There's a chance for even greater sacrifice as an overnight vigil will be held there every Thursday evening into the wee hours of Friday morning. Since abortions are performed there on Thursdays, local leaders have felt it only right and just to offer up a bigger sacrifice in order to help make reparation for the blood of the innocents that is shed there nearly every Thursday. That overnight vigil will run from 8 p.m. until 8 a.m. the following Friday morning. All of this information and the chance to sign up for hours to come and pray is found at 40daysforlife.com/Bloomington. Deacon Russ's contact information is also available there should you have any questions or need help with anything. Finally, Deacon Russ is planning a very special kickoff event for this campaign, which will be held there at the Bloomington Planned Parenthood on Monday, February 15th at 6:30 p.m. Former abortionist Dr. Haywood Robinson will be making a stop here in Bloomington to urge area Christians to not be afraid to give more of themselves in the fight to end abortion. Dr. Robinson is living proof of how the prayers and sacrifices of others helped to obtain his conversion to Christianity and ultimately to his leaving the abortion industry. You'll have a chance to hear his remarkable testimony on Monday, February 15th, starting at 6:30 p.m. at the Bloomington Planned Parenthood. Again, information on this special kickoff can be found at the local 40 Days for Life webpage, 40daysforlife.com/Bloomington. You won't want to miss this Monday evening program. I know you will be inspired by the words of Dr. Haywood Robinson. Our Lady, our dearest Mother, offered up for each one of us on the wood of the cross the most precious gift she had, that of her divine Son. Anything we suffer or willingly sacrifice is really so slight in comparison with hers. Throughout this Lenten season, let us gaze often upon the crucifix and our Lord's wounds from which blood flowed forth, rousing within ourselves those same sentiments of deep sorrow and repentance that our first parents had when they saw death and blood poured forth for the first time because of their sin. Man is meant to be disturbed by his sin. In fact, the loss of the sense of sin is allowing so much evil to run rampant in our times. May we who know better be led to a deeper repentance and conversion ourselves and be more willing to make greater sacrifices for the salvation of souls. Thanks so much for joining me today. Until next time, let us heed the warning of St. Maximilian Mary Kolbe that the most deadly poison of our time is indifference. Let's pray for one another that we may be consumed with a desire to save lives and souls, to give the greatest possible honor and glory to God. Ave Maria.
Thank you for listening to Pro-Life to the Max, a production of WOMB Catholic Radio. To learn more about this program and how you can help us to continue to produce and broadcast this content, visit us online at WOMBradio.com.